We are. Thank you so much. This pulpit seems so short. Oh, that's right. We have a short pastor. I forgot. But he's a great pastor. Amen for that. He might be a short package, but boy, he's powerful. We are glad that you're here today, everybody, and we are glad to host you. And after the service this morning, we get a chance to, at least I get a chance, and a few others get a chance to eat with the teen choir and adult choir. We're grateful for that. For those of you that provided the food, we are blessed. There'll be a few others that will join us for this luncheon, and we get a chance to get to know you a little bit better. There's a verse that's going to be on the screen, and I think this is just an accent to what has already been said for this special service. And I've titled this, it's in your bulletins if you have one, just a brief outline about the two paths that all of us are on in life. And it's from Matthew 7, 13 to 14. I think it'll be on the screen. Right now, there it is. So would you read this with me and embrace it together, all right? Enter through the narrow gate.
Wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many enter through it. Small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life. Only a few find it.
I applaud you today for your humility and your honesty of each one of you in this wonderful choir. Clearly, you're on the narrow road that leads to life. Here we have lives transformed and made whole, forgiven, forever changed by the truth of the gospel. On the other hand, I grieve for the proud who have not found the hope in Christ. Maybe those that are on the upper side of life don't need God. But I've learned this through precept and trial. The way up is down, and the way down is looking up to Jesus Christ. And there are only two paths in this text, the broad and the wide path, or a narrow path and a small gate. There are really only two worldviews out there in our world. One is the sacred and the other is the secular. But the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and what? Everything in it. Oh yes, we have a variety of political ideologies and economic systems in our world. And the secular worldview has hundreds of sub-worldviews, but all of them are inadequate to explain the purpose and the meaning of life. I believe that God owns it all. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. C.S. Lewis said this, there is no neutral ground. Every inch of the universe and every second is claimed by God and subsequently counterclaimed by Satan. So we have the war of the worlds, if you will. And we are all in this world of competing values and views, and our destiny will be determined by the path that we choose. I picked up a book last week in a little art shop in Leaper's Fork, Tennessee. We're on our road trip. It's called The Valley of Vision. And these are the prayers of the Puritans. And this prayer talks about the small gate and the narrow path while we are living with people who are consumed by the broad path. We all know people who are on the broad path to destruction, and in your outline in the back of it, I have included this little prayer. I want to read it for you today. Lord, high and holy, meek and lowly, thou hast brought me to the valley of vision, where I live in the depths, but see thee in the heights. Hemmed in by mountains of sin, I behold thy glory. Let me learn by paradox that the way down is the way up, that to be low is to be high, that the broken heart is the healed heart, that the contrite spirit is the rejoicing spirit, that the repenting soul is the victorious soul, that to have nothing is to possess all, that to bear the cross is to wear the crown, that to give is to receive, that the valley is the place of vision. Lord, in the daytime, stars can be seen from the deepest wells, and the deeper the wells, the brighter thy stars shine. Let me find thy light in my darkness, thy life in my death, thy joy in my sorrow, thy grace in my sin, thy riches in my poverty, thy glory in my valley. What we have experienced just now with this choir is how God works. We have seen people, like all of us, who were on the broad path, but they found the narrow gate. He invades our lives with people who care, and then the gospel can touch our hearts. Which path are you on? I know in our midst there are people on both paths. Sadly, there are still some that may have been on the road, the narrow road, but they went back to the broad path that leads to destruction. We will choose our destiny. Life is like choosing a road to take, reflected in the poem by Robert Frost, The Road Not Taken. And I'm not going to read all of it, but just a little snippet at the end. The Road Not Taken, it says this: I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Which road are you on? Look at our text. There are only two paths, and there are only two outcomes. We look at the natural wide path. The path is like a woman I've heard of recently, matter of fact, just yesterday. Her name is Rosario Champagne Butterfield. She was on the broad road that leads to destruction. And in her book, The Secret Thoughts of an Unlikely Convert, she describes herself as a leftist, lesbian professor, very successful, at Syracuse University. She said, I despise Christians, and yet somehow I became one of them. Isn't that great? Her worldview was a historical materialist. No God, no heaven. Her heroes were like Sigmund Freud and Hegel and Marx and Darwin. Typical liberal professor. She said Christians had a supernatural worldview. So she set out to disprove the religious right in the early 90s. She hated Pat Robertson. She hated the moral majority. Therefore, she had to begin her research by reading the Bible. But a pastor from Syracuse Reformed Presbyterian Church wrote to her. And they met several times with his wife. And over time, Rosario opened her mind, first of all, because of a caring, compassionate pastor and his wife. And then later, she opened her heart to the Bible and the message of the gospel. If you'd like to check this out, it's on my Facebook page. It's absolutely incredible, wonderful story of redemption. The bottom line is that Rosario Butterfield's life changed. She got off the broad road that leads to destruction, and she still writes. But now, years later, her lifestyle is radically changed. She is now the wife of a pastor of the First Reformed Church in Durham, North Carolina. Amen? And so let's look at the natural path that Rosario was on. This path is wide and broad, and this road leads to destruction. The scripture says, many enter through it. And there are some descriptions of people that are on this wide and broad path. And the first characteristic is they depend on human reason alone. Proverbs 13:11 says, when I was young, I reasoned like a child. And this probably is that people have not grown up. They still reason like a child. Scripture tells us that the natural man understands not the things of the Spirit of God. He cannot know them because these things are spiritually understood. And Paul warns us about being destroyed through human philosophies of mankind. There's all kinds of varieties of humanism out there. Greek philosophers, Roman philosophers, Epicureans and Stoics and humanists. And Paul also says we need to take every thought captive into the obedience of Christ, even now. So he is warning us to be careful of the philosophies that are spoon-fed every day into the lives of our children through our educational and media-driven culture. Teachers who represent a materialistic, humanistic worldview, and college campuses espouse the same. Secondly, not only reason alone, but the natural man on the broad road also has a reckless lifestyle. A reckless lifestyle. Proverbs 12 says, the fool is hard-headed. That was me. Hard-headed and reckless. And someone shared to me this week about how some of our kids are reckless in their addictions, in their drugs. And it's epidemic, as you all know, in college campuses all over the country. And I heard some really weird, nutsy kind of thing out there that kids are so addicted to alcohol that they, have you ever heard of the word called vodka eyeballing? Where they'll throw a vodka bottle in their eye and have a drink through their eye so as not to have alcohol on their breath. It's popular. It's popular even around here. It's popular on our campuses. So what about recklessness? Another characteristic of this broad road destruction is not only reason alone and recklessness, but rebellion. You can't make me. Or you're not the boss of me attitude. Samuel calls it rebellion as the sin of witchcraft. Not listening to authority. Not listening to your parents. Not listening to those that have rule over us. Those are the broad road characteristic that leads to destruction. When you do that, then the last one is rejecting the Son of God. John 3:36 says, whoever rejects the Son will not see life. And finally, the last characteristics of those that are on the broad road, it gets worse. Not only you reject and not only you rebel, then it even gets deeper, and the word's called revenge. They want to get even. Leviticus 19:18 says, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge. And all of those characteristics lead to a ruined life. The Bible says the mouth of a fool invites ruin, not a pretty path, not an outcome that God desires for any one of us. If you're on that path, I want to encourage you to get off that as fast as you can. Run to a parent, run to a pastor, run to a friend that will send you and bring you to the narrow road that leads to life everlasting. And there's an admonition at the front end of this verse. It says, enter now into the narrow road. And now we come to that wonderful narrow road and small gate. And there's an admonition in that verse. But it is narrow. There is only one way to life. There's only one way to peace. There's all kinds of world religions out there, but there's only one resurrected Savior, one that died for the sins of humanity to bring us into fellowship with God. And we come to this path through reason and revelation. That's the difference. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool. Your sins can be blotted out and removed once and for all. And this book of Revelation that we hold in our hands reveals the word of God and the will of God for all of us. 1 Peter 3:15 says, I love this verse. This is a challenge verse for every single one of us. It says, set apart Christ as Lord in your heart and always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason of the hope that you have. But be sure to do this with gentleness and respect. That's in that verse as well. We also get on this gospel road, this narrow road, because we repent of our sins. You can't get on the road unless you repent of your sins. The Bible says, repent, turn, and believe the gospel. Turn away from that old, destructive, broad road that leads to destruction. Just like this former liberal Unitarian Universalist did, she changed her life. She came to Christ. She received Christ as her Savior, and He set her free. And because of that, we have redemption. The songs that we sang today were all about redemption, being redeemed. We were bought back from the marketplace of sin because of what Christ did for us on the cross. He took our sin. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, and we are reconciled to God. Romans 5:11 says, we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom now we have received reconciliation. I love the word reconciliation, don't you? It means you're brought back. You've made up. I wonder how many here need reconciliation with a son or a daughter or a wife. The God of all grace, it continues, it gets better. He will restore you. Restoring a wreck into somebody who's redeemed by the blood of Christ. That's what Peter says, 1 Peter. God, the God of all grace, will restore you. If you're in the business of restoration, whether it's a house or little knickknacks, isn't that wonderful to make something brand new and productive once again that was ruined? What a glorious victory. We can rejoice in the Lord always, and again we can say rejoice. C.S. Lewis said, aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. If you aim at earth, you will get neither. So today, what path are you on? One is wide and broad, and everybody's going there. The other is small gate and a road that is narrow, not easily accessible because it's only one way you can get there, and that's through Jesus. And only a few find it. Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate, because narrow is the gate that leads to life. Which do you want? Who wants destruction? Nobody. Who wants life? Everybody. And the road we choose will make all the difference. And there might be some here today that are headed down that road to destruction. Maybe you were on the road, the narrow road, but somehow you got seduced into the broad road of destruction. I want to implore you, if you're on that broad road, wide path, jump off as quickly as you can and get back on the narrow road. The naturalistic, humanistic viewpoint of life is empty and without hope. But the narrow road and the less traveled road path leads to life and godliness and peace with God and with victory. And I want to encourage you today, if God is speaking to your heart, I want you to come. I want you to respond to the truth of God's word, not to me, but the open door of salvation to you, or the open door of renewal for you, just to simply come. I've asked a couple of guys, maybe the elders, to come and just stand here and pray, put an arm around someone. And I want to read to you another prayer. I love this book. Matter of fact, the owner of the art store where I got it, this guy's art was everywhere, and he said, oh, you picked up my favorite book in the whole store. So let me read this to you. This is a Puritan prayer. And then I want you to come, if you feel led to come to the narrow road, or come back to the narrow road and meet a few elders here at the front before I have my final verse that God has laid on my heart. O divine Redeemer, great was thy goodness in undertaking my redemption, in consenting to be made sin for me, in conquering all my foes. Great was thy strength in enduring the extremities of divine wrath, in taking away the load of my iniquities. Great was thy love in manifesting thyself alive, in showing thy sacred wounds, that every fear might vanish and every doubt might be removed. Great was thy mercy in ascending to heaven and in being crowned and enthroned, there to intercede for me and to succor me in temptation, there to open the eternal book, there to receive me finally to thyself. Great was thy wisdom in devising this means of salvation. Bathe my soul in rich consolations of thy resurrection life. Great was thy grace in commending me to come hand in hand with thee to the Father, to be knit to him eternally, to discover in him my rest, to find in him my peace, to behold his glory, to honor him who is alone worthy in giving me the Spirit as teacher, guide, power, that I might live repenting of sin, to conquer Satan and find victory in life. When thou art absent, all sorrows are here. When thou art present, all blessings are mine. I want you to encourage you to come to the narrow road. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much that you love us with an everlasting love, and I thank you for these who have bore their soul and their heart to us. For the proud, I pray that you deliver them from any hint of self-righteousness, that we would run to Jesus and the cross of Christ, that we would just stand before you and come before you with a heart that you can heal, with a marriage that you can redeem, for children, for a life that can be made complete in Christ. And Lord, we know you want us to come. And so, Lord, we just open the door today for anyone who would like to, with these who have already testified, to testify today, I will be on that narrow road that leads to life. And so we come as the Holy Spirit deals with us, as an elder comes. We ask you, God, that you do the work in our heart. Make a decisive decision to follow Jesus Christ, to turn our life over to him. And so, Lord, come. Come, Lord Jesus. We come to that narrow path. We ask you to come today. In your precious name we pray. Amen.